You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We proved last year that we're a 7-10 football team with a really good defense and a mediocre offense. That's about what we proved. Flip that. We don't get any more second chances.
Oh, from the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it is the Hard Knocks Podcast, Episode 2 Recap. I am Dan Hansis, joined by, and happy to have you in studio.
I'm back.
Colleen Wolf,
hey.
What's up, Connie?
Oh my gosh, this is wonderful. We're both wearing our crew shirts, our Hard Knocks Jets official NFL Films crew shirts. We had nothing to do with the actual making of the episode, but we like to think that we are part of the crew.
I mean, there are some questions that need to be asked. Does it make us look like shills? Are we too close to the operation? We already work for the NFL.
Right.
But I'm just going to blow through those warning signs and hope the audience understands that when we go into watching these episodes, we do it with an open mind mm-hmm. and a critical mind.
Yeah, it's a clean slate, and we're here to judge and let you know all of our takes from this episode. I'm also just so impressed that this shirt was in my size. It's usually I get these shirts and they kind of fit like a dress.
Right.
But it actually fits like a shirt. It's wonderful. I love it.
Unbelievable. So shout out to NFL Films for hooking us up with the swag. Yes, episode 2. I think episode 2, Connie, my overall thoughts on the theme. Mm-hmm. Episode 1 was about Aaron Rodgers, first and foremost, and it had to be. If it wasn't about Aaron Rodgers, then the producers of that show would have been trying too hard, because that's what this is. That's
sure.
what's going on around the Jets. I thought it was a good job. While Rodgers remains a major part of episode 2, as he should, the focus was on the defense in a lot of ways in episode 2, which I think is so important, because as good as the Jets' offense can be if Rodgers is the Rodgers of old and not old Rodgers, it's the defense that was special last year and kind of got screwed over by Zach Wilson and an offense that totally imploded. And what you heard there at the top of the show was after, Connie, the first joint practice that they had, it turned out to be the only joint practice with the Panthers because of weather in day 2, Saleh's annoyed. And
yeah.
The offense got kind of pushed around. First time Aaron Rodgers and the offense had been against an actual opponents. And here's a little sound from Aaron Rodgers, who was even annoyed about a play that had gone awry.
But we'll learn. That play sucks from that formation. Maybe we're going to learn that after that rep. Maybe
like
we'll
dad.
Learn that.
And, you know, that led to you saw news stories middle of last week about Aaron Rodgers upset for the first time. And there it is. And that's one of the great things about Hard Knocks. But they figured it out, and culminating with a look at what happened in the preseason game where the Jets' defense kicked butt.
Right. Aaron Rodgers was not happy with his offensive line that day, and we saw the Jets' defense really shine in this. I think at one point in the episode, Dan, you said that this is like defensive porn watching. Mm-hmm. Like the montages that they put together were really, really special. I absolutely love their defensive coordinator, Jeff Ulbrich. He's so fun to listen to. Like, I wish that I could pay him for a pep talk. Like, maybe he should get on Cameo, pull like a Scott Hansen, and just start doing all sorts of pep talks for everyone, because he has a gift. And it's like, even when he's telling Zach Wilson to smile at one point. Right. And he's fawning all over Rodgers. And I love that he had some really great quotes in this entire episode, but he just has this like swag about him. And so does this entire defensive line. You saw Quinnen Williams be a star in this episode. Mm-hmm. And we obviously watched it in that game against the Panthers because Bryce Young had no time that entire game. So this defense is very special.
Yeah, we were trying to like clock it and it was fun to be able to watch it with you, Connie, and our producer.
Had a little watch party.
Behind the glass, Randy Chavez, in for Eric Roberts this week. We're trying to like place Ulbrich. He's kind of got this vibe, the way he was rolling certain words. He kind of had a little bit of white boy swag thing going on. It's like, who does he remind me of? Who does he sound like? And it was Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
If you know how Travis Kelce enunciates and speaks, you know what Ulbrich sounds like. And I thought it was a big focus of the episode was defense. Quinnen Williams got a lot of screen time. And I thought it was telling to hear Ulbrich speak in hushed tones about Williams, almost in the same way he kind of was losing it over the greatness of an Aaron Rodgers throw the previous week on Hard Knocks, which I thought was a really interesting moment in that episode. Here is Ulbrich speaking to the team in a defensive meeting about Williams getting to the quarterback.
Q, you done up. Because every damn rep today was unbelievable. Damn. That's a big man running. That is awesome.
Damn.
That is awesome. That is the exact damn words. What was that, Jeff?
Damn.
I love it.
That was that's what he said about Rodgers last week. Anyway, but Quinnen Williams is an unsung hero of that defense in a lot of ways. Even though he just got the big new contract, I think he's been off the radar a little bit in terms of national coverage. So this is a good show for him. You also got a lot of love from Will McDonald, got a lot of screen time,
uh-huh.
The rookie taken in the first round in the most recent draft. And it's like, you watch this, Connie, and you're watching spin move, and you're saying, is this the defensive rookie of the year, potentially?
Oh, my gosh. Like, that's exactly what I said. I turned to you when we were watching it. It's like, back-to-back years, will they end up having the defensive rookie of the year? And, like, just watching Robert Saleh, the smile on his face when they were leaving that game because of the way that his defense played. He was beaming, ear-to-ear smile. Like, that was, I don't know. I think it's really funny that Robert Saleh talks about the silent tape in this episode a lot.
Right.
I wasn't keyed in on that before.
So does mean he just, like, is in a room and there's no other
That's what he said.
Audio it's, to it. It's just him in a dark room.
It's
watching.
A dark room, silent, and he watches it to see how the players represent themselves and the units that they play on. And that he had said that the defense obviously was great in the silent tape that he had watched, but the offense just wasn't there. There was nothing great about what was happening.
Yeah, and that's part of the story of the Jets, if you're following the team, is them figuring out with a new offensive coordinator, new quarterback, trying to get this offensive line healthy and cohesive. You're seeing some bumps along the way, but it's the defense that if this team is going to finally get back to the Super Bowl for the first time in 55 years, that's going to lead it. During that joint practice with the Panthers, we see Frank Reich and Saleh together, you know, making that small talk that all head coaches do when you watch these NFL films productions. And
I love to see what the dynamic is.
Yeah, it's always fun. And Saleh says to Reich, the D-line, they're our baby. And then Reich says, it's always your baby. And Reich is alluding to Saleh's previous tenure with the Niners. When he built up a murderer's row up front when he was their DC. And there's so much promise there. And we talk about the defense in this episode. You barely see Sauce Gardner, who's arguably the best player on their defense. He's a cornerback, obviously. And this is the week when Dalvin Cook joins the fray. We don't see him in this episode, but he signed with the team officially this week. It reinforces the reality that this team has so much talent on it. And as a Jets fan, it excites me. But it
scares you a little
nervous.
Bit.
Like,
scares
what,
you a little bit.
What could go wrong? Let's talk about some fun stuff.
Okay,
though.
Okay.
So that was kind of like the big picture, I thought, in terms of what Hard Knocks is going for in this episode, showing both sides of the ball after Rodgers got so much pub in episode one. But we got to start at the beginning of the episode.
It was so good. It was so funny.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my God.
Oz Perlman.
Yes.
Mentalist. I looked him up. Okay, let me just read a little bit, because everybody needs to know about Oz Perlin. Oz is a world-class entertainer. Damn right. Hit me with it.
Damn.
Damn.
And one of the busiest mentalists in the country. What? Having dazzled audiences with his unique mind-reading ability for over a decade, Oz's client list reads like a who's who of politicians, professional athletes, A-list celebrities, and Fortune 500 companies. His natural charisma, hit it.
Damn.
And charm.
Damn.
Make him the perfect choice for corporate events and private parties alike. Oz's unique blend of mentalism and mind reading create an interactive experience that is redefining the very nature of a magic show, one that truly needs to be seen to be believed. Colleen,
oh my God,
the players are losing it.
Okay, I was losing it too, because as soon as I see this guy come out, I'm like, okay, what is this going to be? What kind of shtick does this guy do? And at one point he says, while he's doing some type of card trick, he says, I don't deal with cards. I deal with thoughts. And
I was like, in my mind, I was like, yo, Oz, my wife watches this show. Can we just relax?
Oh my God. This guy has a gift. Like, when I saw Mentalist, I wasn't really sure what to expect. Is he going to be a magician? Is he going to be a motivational speaker? What is he?
CBS program called The Mentalist.
Exactly.
So I thought it was boring just by the nature of all CBS programming.
Not Oz Perlman.
No.
He should have been starring in that, because this was anything but boring. Michael Carter, his reaction at one point to, I guess it was like number 10 was predicted. He had picked out of any number what his like jersey number would be, and they finally got around to it, and Oz Perlman was like, you were thinking what were you thinking of, and had 10
had
written
it
down already. Michael Carter's reaction is the perfect gif. Like, yes. I need it. I will use it. It was watching Mecole Hardman, watching all of the players.
I wish I knew who it was. It was a defensive lineman or maybe an O-lineman.
Wearing a Black Champion sweatshirt.
Black Champion sweatshirt, and he jumped up. You saw two reactions from him. He jumped up like he had just seen a witch perform a spell.
Yeah.
And he just realized that monsters are real and magic is real. And I gotta say, when he does the trick with Aaron Rodgers, Rodgers has a look on his face. He's always got that resting Rodgers face, where it's like, I'm the smartest guy in the room. If there's one person who's not gonna get taken here,
you will not outsmart
it's me.
I'm
Aaron Rodgers. Part of the reason like people don't like him, but like I like him.
I am so back on board.
I know. I feel like a hypocrite.
We're in a lot of trouble. We're in a lot of trouble this season, I feel.
But anyway, Rodgers has this look on my face like, you're not getting me, Oz Perlman, mentalist. And he gets him. He gets him. He gets the card right. He gets the goldfish in the hand.
Oh, my God.
And I'm just like, is magic real? Like, what's happening?
It has to be.
Break it down for me.
Did you see the looks on everyone's faces in that room? Watching the players watch Aaron Rodgers during that trick when Rodgers was like, yeah, okay, go ahead. What's next? What do you got for me? And then seeing his expression change to, like, absolute, like, just disbelief, really. I don't know how he does it. How intuitive do you have to be? He nailed all three different, I don't even know if you would call them tricks, but whatever he's doing, it's working.
He's a world-class entertainer and one of the busiest mentalists in the country.
Yeah.
Like, if there's a better mentalist than Oz Perlman,
then what are we doing?
Can we get Oz Perlman on the show? What can we do? I need to be closer in his orbit, because, like, I am the guy in the champion sweatshirt. Like, I'm wondering now, like, if this is something that's another human being can do. How are we not using this to secure world peace?
Exactly. Why aren't we leveraging Oz's gifts?
Or, you know, like, not to go full Oppenheimer here, or to win wars. Like, if we have this guy in our back pocket,
what a tool! It's a secret weapon, is Oz Perlman. You guys got to look him up. This was the most riveting part of the show. I still am shook from it.
I can't deal.
Mecole Hardman predicting that the Jets would beat the Niners 31-21 in the Super Bowl, and Oz already had it written on a board.
How is that not what's going to happen now?
If
it does happen, what does that mean for society and the world?
I'll tell you what. It means that we need Oz Perlman and Mark Sessler in a room together.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine?
A lot of energy. A lot of dark energy in that room.
Damn.
Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, while that trick's being done, he's wearing a a hat that says cherish the little things. It's like the most Colleen hat I've ever seen.
I want it so bad. I'm already Googling it. I need it. I'm a baseball hat girl.
Let's look into that.
Okay.
Let's see where one could find a cherish the little things hat. Yeah.
I'll wear it all season long, through airports, through shows, whatever. I got you. I will credit whoever needs to be credited. I will pay whatever I need to pay.
All right. Jeez, we're just getting warmed up here.
Yeah.
You want to do some MVP talk?
I love MVP talk. Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. And when we're back, we will hit MVPs and then stray thoughts from episode 2 of Hard Knocks.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
And I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah. It's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. Let's keep rolling here.
All right.
Connie, because we hit on The Mentalist, and I have to say, I don't have Oz Perlman in my...
I wish I did.
I just felt like...
In your what?
Vote.
Where?
I don't, but I would if you could promise me that he would have shown up again. But I would imagine they can't make this the Oz Perlman show. But HBO, pay attention.
Right.
He needs a show.
I did think about putting him in the MVP rankings, but we can't do it.
Yeah,
won't do it.
We do a vector scoring system. Longtime listeners know what that means. We're not entirely sure.
We don't really know.
But it's a point system. It's cumulative. At the end of the season, we will share with you the Hard Knocks MVP based on who gets the most points. Connie, we'll start with you. Your third place vote, episode 2 MVP.
Third place goes to Cue Ball, Quinnen Williams. He was all over this episode, smiling, chirping. At one point, he's talking about, we don't hope or believe, we know. Love that. Feel like you could slap that on a hat as well. Mm-hmm. Talking about how he had 10 sacks today alone against the Panthers.
On my life, I got 10 sacks today.
All by myself, telling Rodgers, telling Saleh. And then I loved that Rodgers was keeping score of them, too, when he got 11. He's like, 11, 11.
Yeah.
So it's just, he was so genuine in his press conference, too, after getting paid, talking about how money just makes you more of the person that you actually are. If you're a good person, it will amplify it. If you're a bad person, you're going to be even worse.
I like that take. I haven't really heard that one before.
I firmly believe in that take, and he's totally right. And you can just tell what a great person he is based on the reaction from all of his teammates, how much everyone loves him, how confident he is, and how much he's really grown into this team. Because even though he's young, and he has this baby face, it almost seems like he's one of the leaders in the room. He's one of the loudest voices. And everyone sort of is drawn to him as well. I loved at one point Nathaniel Hackett yelling for him across the field, like, cue, cue, and then he just flips him off.
Right.
Like, you could just tell that this team has such a fun vibe around them.
By the way, that's officially a thing because Hackett was flipping off Aaron Rodgers, I believe, for a play working last week. So it's just
I can't wait to do that to you guys.
Always welcome. I also had Q ball as my third place vote. I dig his vibe. Like you said, he's kind of happy-go-lucky, and then he's this dominant force on the defensive line. He didn't realize when he's telling Rodgers, I got 10 sacks today is against the Panthers in the joint practice, not realizing, and he should have known, I mean, geez, it's Aaron Rodgers, that he was mic'd up, and he gets a little, like, sheepish, like, oh, it's going to make me look like I'm Aaron. But it's like something my overexcited 9-year-old would say to me, like, oh, I got 10 sacks today. On my life, I got 10 sacks today. It's like, all right. He's like a kid.
He's like a big kid. Yeah. Exactly.
So I really enjoyed him, and like we played earlier, Ulbrich reminding us, wow, that's a special talent on that line. Leading into my second place vote.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh.
I thought, like, in an episode where he wasn't truly the focal point, he kind of still is. I mean, like, that's just the nature of the Jets. He is the sun that everything orbits around. And I just, even with less of him, which I think is a good idea, because I think if NFL Films and Hard Knocks just said, you know what? Everyone knows what this is. This
right.
Aaron Rodgers' show. So this is going to be Hard Knocks Aaron Rodgers. I think everybody would have gotten a little burned out on it. So I think it's smart to have him a little bit in the background. But again, like, this is a guy that's a polarizing individual, you know? Like, and
I feel like he's becoming less polarizing, though.
Well, that's the thing.
Like, this is great for him. And this show has been awesome for his whole image.
I feel like I'm too close to it with the Rodgers stuff, because on Around the NFL, I've gotten after Rodgers for stuff he's done off the field, things he's said, whether it's comments about COVID or, you know, various things where, you know, the whole thing with the darkness retreat. And sometimes it was just like, why doesn't this guy just keep some things to himself?
Well, that would be bad for business for us, too. Damn.
Right. Well, that's fair.
Damn.
That's fair. And damn. And now I can't now come to you and say Aaron Rodgers is amazing just because he's on the Jets, because, again, I'd feel like a big, fat hypocrite. But at the same time, it's hard not to see him as a likable, like, elder statesman guy who loves the game and loves being part of a team. And you see that throughout this episode. I mean, the way he kind of interacts, not just with his own team, but with the Panthers, whether it's a former coach that he's busting his chops about being over 270 pounds to going up to, you know, Bryce Young and giving him encouragement.
I was thinking about that, just being the calm voice of reason, too. He's kind of grown into that role. Even with the chippy practices, you saw him talking to defensive lineman Al Woods, and he's like, have you been in those fights before? Like, it kind of felt almost like a therapist a little bit. Like, how do you feel when these things happen? Like, have you done this in the past? Like, and then when he was talking to one of the other guys that was in the middle of the scrum, he's like,
right,
you didn't worry about your hand at all?
Right.
Like, punching a helmet?
Suddenly being like, dude, be smart.
Come on. But the way that he approached it, the calmness that he had, and then kind of dapping up all of the Panthers, talking to Brian Burns, congratulating him on the deal that he got, and the way that he was with Bryce Young, talking about Andy Dalton, like, hey, has this guy been helping you? Like, it just seems like he's now in this part of his life where he's, like, becoming a coach almost.
You could tell that he knows how much it means to all these people for him to give them those little moments.
Yeah.
Because he's viewed as, like, this living legend. And I thought the interaction from a Jets fan perspective, that was the most interesting, and the one I imagine the beat reporters will kind of dig into a little bit, is Mekhi Becton, the 2021, what was it, 2020, first-round pick tackle who's had a very up and down, mostly down in the last 2 years, career with the Jets, and they really need Becton to be a thing on either left or right tackle to give them some upside on the only position group that's a red flag. And late in that game, a game in which Becton played the most snaps he's played in a couple of years, even though his knee is still not right, you see him kind of come up next to Becton, and Becton's huge, one of the biggest football players on earth, and kind of put his arm around him and congratulate him on working through and say, let's get together and have some lunch this week and talk. And it's just like, oh, wow. So, I mean, this is – you see the way he still looks great on the field, but when he's this invested
– yeah.
He's transformed everything, and that's why he gets my second place vote.
He knows how important it is to foster those relationships and to be a people person and to have that chemistry on the team, because we saw it last week when he was talking about Hackett and Hackett's involvement with the players in Green Bay when one of the offensive linemen wasn't taking part in like the celebrations after a touchdown. He sees how important that is for a team's success. Also, I loved that we learned a little bit more about that relationship between the quarterback and the center.
Anger okay?
Yeah.
Fine.
I'm in there a little bit deeper than some of the other guys.
So yeah. They're really close.
Did he say I'm in there deeper
than some of the other guys? Yeah.
The other guys.
He did say that.
That's
so
what makes him different than previous partners that the centers have had. That's interesting.
Right. But to that point though, I think that this episode, as you mentioned, it was largely about the defense, but specifically, I think, about the defensive line and also the offensive line when you take a step back, because the offensive line, their struggles were weaved kind of subtly throughout it, too. So just both those lines up front kind of, for me, took center stage. So, okay, that was your number
yes,
two
MVP. Yes, who's your
second
place vote for MVP?
Mine
two, Art Knox.
Goes to Will McDonald. He gets my second place here. He really captured my heart when he went on this excursion.
So I want to get like a piercing. I had a piercing here, but it had fell out. So I want to get my eyebrows and then whatever else I decide I want, I'm going to just get.
Whatever else I decide I want, I'm going to get. Okay. So he is a man after my own heart because, as you know, Dan, I
yes.
all last season just like kept getting different piercings in my ear. I've always wanted to get.
We were concerned about you at a certain point, whether you'd be able to hear. Like, what point does it affect your ability to, yeah.
It's called a constellation piercing, Dan. You should look into it. And
it is too late for the old Zeuser to get an earring. It would
maybe
signal
not.
A midlife crisis of the highest
level. Is that what it's signaling for me?
Possible. No, it's different. You're a stylish young woman. But if I showed up with like a hoop earring, you know that I'm living like in Reseda by myself and have a red sports car. It's
you know,
not good.
My dad, when he turned 50, he bought a red Corvette.
There you go. I'm sure your mom was thrilled about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a really interesting.
As she was drawing up the divorce papers.
Pretty much.
Lawyer, yeah.
Pretty much.
Waiting
there were a lot of other things that needed money at that point. Not that. But Will McDonald, he was wearing this fun blue earring when we saw him on the side of the field. He was talking about how he doesn't want to be normal and that you only get one life. Don't think too much about it. Do what you want. Also, like a low-key gymnast, maybe, because he was super acrobatic the way that he got up. It was a little extra, but I kind of like that from him. He's got personality, and he seems to absolutely not care at all what anyone thinks about him. He just kind of like does his own thing.
This is why Hard Knocks is great, because I'm a diehard Jets fan. I didn't realize he was such a character and a personality and someone that kind of stands out from the crowd. It's funny. There's our old buddy, Dave Damashek, had a great take that whenever someone is described as, it might have been a Corolla take, but Dave used to share it. If someone describes like, Will McDonald, Will's Will. You know, Will's Will. It's usually code for like he sucks or like he's, you know, a guy that's kind of annoying to deal with. I'm not saying people are saying Will's Will in this episode, but when he did say, I always thought another one, like an addendum to that, is someone is like a little bit problematic in some of their behavior or a little bit boorish and like, yeah, but you know what? Will, if he'd give you the shirt off of his back if it's the last one he had. It was like, why are you trying so hard to make it seem like he's actually a good guy?
Right.
His life motto that he shares in this, you only get one life. Don't think about it too much. Do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Every person I've ever known in my life that goes by that kind of motto usually is terrible. And I'm hoping that Will is an outlier. Usually he's like a selfish person who's kind of in their own world and planet.
I'm not going to lie. That's kind of the motto of Summer of Connie a bit, but like
you can get away with it for
Earth.
A season.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And the off season of the NFL is different. But if you were in Summer of Connie mode, 365, including the football season, some people would start to be like,
she okay?
Yeah, how about, not just is she okay, how about you work with us, Connie? We're trying to be professional over here.
Yeah. I'm like bringing in six packs, like doing whatever. You can't do that all the time. I also like that he said he doesn't really have a style. His style is just unpredictable.
Right. I'm just saying I'm a little concerned there's some red flags.
No way.
Listen, the NFL, they want conformity. So I am in no way saying I don't want Will to be on his own little island. I like Will Island. I just hope we're not talking in a couple of years about like, oh, you kind of nailed this.
No. For me, it's all green flags. No red flags. I love Will McDonald. I don't want him to change. And I mean, I almost feel like I should move him up to number one in my rankings for MVP, but I won't. I won't do that.
All right. Who is number one for you?
For me, it's Aaron Rodgers. And we covered him a little bit, because it's Aaron Rodgers. But I did enjoy the whole thing about him picking up the grass. Like, why is he always picking up the grass? What's the deal with that? And him talking about it started in Green Bay. You kind of get a better grip on the ball, checking the wind. But really, essentially, it's just a tick that he has at this point that now I don't think he can stop. He says that it's his way of meditating with the field, maybe being one with everything that's out there. And the receivers are kind of like, yeah, like knock yourself out. Do whatever you got to do as long as you're throwing me the ball.
Yeah, no, I think that's well said. And I think he's some type of – it was to test the wind, but also what was the
grip. Like he said to –
what he used the interesting way – I don't remember anymore, but it was like dexterity or something like that.
I think he did say dexterity.
It was very Aaron Rodgers. You could obviously say Rodgers is the MVP of this episode too. He placed for me, but I went with somebody that I was mad at myself last week for not giving him, not placing him.
Oh, this is a good one. I know where you're going.
Defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich. And I should have brought it up last week that I loved last week. Obviously, his Aaron Rodgers conversation he had. Mm-hmm. And then I loved one thing I didn't mention when he got after the do your job complex, mm-hmm. which started in New England, of course, and it's a Patriot thing. And he said, do my job. Is that good enough? No, that's the rest of the NFL, isn't it? Do your job. That. Do your job. Then now what? If we all do our job a little bit more, that's 22 players playing. You guys feel it? Think about this. That's 22 on the field. So then the question goes to the offense. Now what? He was just kind of going off, and as Greg Rosenthal pointed out on ATN, I don't know why I said his last name, that's definitely going to be on Belichick's radar. And I just like that. Ooh. Just kind of go after the Patriots, who are still maybe not bullies to the rest of the league, but still to the Jets. And then he has this great line to Quinnen Williams before the joint practice with the Panthers.
Hey, Q. Hey, sometimes you just gotta lift your leg and mark your territory. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're in their backyard, gonna piss on the corner, on the tree, on the porch, on the kids' toys.
No, not the kids.
No, the kids' toys.
Not the kids.
I know, you can piss on their toys.
Not the
Jeff. Jeff, walk it back a little.
Where are we going with this, Jeff?
Damn.
And again, Quinnen Williams, shout out. He's too much of a nice guy. Like, he'll sack you 11 times.
Right.
But I'm not going to urinate on the children's outdoor, like, playthings. I mean, let's.
Not the kids. So good.
he walked all the way up with Jeff to that point. Uh-huh. And then he's like, I gotta leave you there, Jeff, at that point. But
Ulbrich and Hackett are the two coordinators in the league that I would like to have a beer with.
Yes.
That seems like the most fun coaching staff.
And we talked about it leading into the season. Is it Hackett who's going to be the coach on the staff that really jumps out the way like Deuce Staley did last year with the Lions' Hard Knock season? Right now, Ulbrich to me is the clear leader and a real dark horse to take this whole thing, this MVP.
Do you think we like him because we're from the Northeast and that he kind of just reminds us of our family and our friends and everyone that we grew up around? Because when I hear him talk, it just makes me feel like I'm home.
Which is funny because he was born in San Jose.
What?
Yeah, he's a California guy.
That's not on brand. I feel like he is born and bred Northeast.
Look at him in 2002, according to his Wikipedia page.
Well, you guys could look this up. He looks much different.
We're all getting older. He played for 10 years in the league. Wow, San Jose kid who played 9 years for the Niners. 10 years for the Niners.
Really?
And now...
What position did he play?
Jeff Ulbrich was, real deep dive on Ulbrich.
I know.
Third round pick in the 2000 draft, former linebacker.
Okay. Huh.
Played
the more you know.
Football at Hawaii, and like I said, 10-year career. Anyway.
Wow. Okay. So we
went
got our
Seattle,
MVP votes.
Where Sala was. Then they hooked up again, I would assume, in San Francisco. You know how this goes.
I know it. I know it well.
So there you go. Vector voting system. Randy Chavez, the funk master himself, will tabulate that and connect with Eric Roberts at the end of the season of Hard Knocks. We will crown the MVP.
Big reveal. Should we send them something, whoever wins?
That's a great idea.
All right. We'll figure out what it is.
It's a great idea. Quote of the week we hit. The quote of the week has to be, I think, Rodgers talking to his center. We could go in a lot of directions, but
that's right.
Let's
that
give him quote of the week. Let's hit some stray thoughts. We are in the credits. We did it.
We did it. We made it. Mom, Dad. Oh, I know you're proud.
What a moment for the Hard Knocks podcast. What a moment for Around the NFL. What a moment for Connie.
And Dan.
And Tugboat. Like, we are at the last credit at the end of the episode. Says, listen to the Hard Knocks podcast from around the NFL.
Very exciting.
Very cool. The next goal is to get Liev Schreiber saying that. Speaking of Liev Schreiber, he has scored some, here's the industry term that I want to share with
okay.
you. Okay. Chiron love.
Oh, you wanted to, you're a big Chiron guy now.
And I wasn't sure. I was like, what is it? Because for the first time ever this season, you see narrated by Liev Schreiber in the opening theme. For the show, and I touch base with NFL Films poobah Ken Rogers,
yep,
who you know is leading the charge for Hard Knocks forever.
And we love Ken.
Love Ken. Shout out to Ken. And he confirmed that was the first time Liev's been in the opening credits in terms of
really?
Text on the screen. They added some minor flourishes to help build the cinematic flavor of the show.
Oh.
And I say, well done. And speaking of Liev Schreiber, we have a thing here. We always share the Liev Schreiber line of the week.
Mm-hmm.
But according to law,
yeah,
like federal
law. It's law of the land.
We are unable to actually use Liev Schreiber's voice.
Mm-hmm. So we have a workaround.
We have a workaround. It is our good friend, voice artist, voice of God for Around the NFL, Jason Zumwalt, who will now share with you the Liev Schreiber line of the week.
The man they call Q-Ball has a habit of keeping offense on the eight ball, even his own.
I think he got that wrong.
Wait, that's definitely not it. Behind the eight ball. I was like, wait, what is he doing talking about an eight ball?
Let's see if I got that wrong or if he got that wrong. Okay.
Does it stay in? Does it stay in?
No, he got it wrong.
Ooh.
Zummy.
And I was just about to pay him such a compliment about his rich voice.
There was three takes. Let me see.
The man they call Q-Ball has a habit of keeping offense on the eight ball, even his own.
What happened?
Okay.
What happened?
Wait.
Jay?
There's a few more takes. Okay.
The man they call Q-Ball has a habit of keeping offense on the eight ball, even his own.
And the take after that is the one that I chose because I thought it sounded the best.
Right, but it's not the quote.
Right.
And the quote is.
The man they call Q-Ball has a habit of putting offense behind the eight ball, even his own.
Yeah. Well.
Tough one.
Missed some key words there.
All right, next week, Jay.
Sounds like he's behind the eight ball.
Q-Ball, of course, being Quinnen Williams.
Correct.
Hey-o. What else? You got takeaways?
The rookie show could not been more of a mess. A spectacular disaster. They should have brought back Oz Perlman. They needed him in a big spot there. He did not deliver. Mecole Hardman was hilarious. First of all, wearing these mirrored shades inside in the dark, watching the rookie show, heckling them, saying, I thought I was going to be laughing. Is this a dance-off? What is this? And you hear everyone booing, everyone throwing stuff at these poor guys. Like, what is this supposed to be? And it was like a test of some sort where I guess they were trying to rag on guys on the team, but like all the players had to be on their phones and submitting answers, and there was no multiple choice. It was great.
It was by far, as someone who's watched every season of Hard Knocks since 2001, the most disastrous rookie show of all time. But I have to say, in defense of the Jets rookies, it's not for lack of effort. Like, it was just overly ambitious.
Yeah.
And they had big concepts. I mean, Christ, they had interactive elements that they were trying to get the veterans to, like, use their phones to, like, key in choices.
You can't make the veterans work.
It's like, no.
Like, that's just the number one
thing.
And
I think it was the tight end who went on to make a touchdown catch against the Panthers, even though he ran the wrong
Coons,
route.
I think
Coons might have been the ringleader on it. And it's so bad that C.J. Mosley, the veteran linebacker, sent him to summer school and said, this is not the rookie show. You guys have to redo this and do it right. And can you imagine how stressful it must be for rookies in the NFL? And now they have this hanging over them.
Mm-mm.
When Hard Knocks is there.
No, I hate it for them. My heart was breaking for them. They looked so devastated because I think they thought that it would be a hit. And they clearly had put so much work into it.
That's
so right. Now we get to see what they'll do. You know what? Just keep it simple. Play the hits. Sing some songs. show your talents. It's the rookie talent show.
Yeah, that was a tough one. Let's see.
The fun game with the quarterbacks. I liked that when they were in the meeting room and they had all the quarterbacks in there and they were showing up on the screen a freeze frame and asking, is this a run play or a pass play? And everyone was going around guessing. And then, like, Aaron Rodgers and Zach Wilson were giving each other heat about it. That was awesome. I loved it.
That was good. I love this journey that we're on with Zach Wilson.
Yeah. It's
like, everyone, including Ulbrich, is like, hey, man, just have fun now. Like, there's no pressure on you. There was that nice moment on the field with Adam Thielen,
who
took Wilson aside and said, you know, basically saying, hey, this is a fresh start and make the most of it and be ready. It's again, we don't have to hit it hard because we hit it in episode one, but it's very unique, Wilson being on this show and his backstory and the fact that he is the number two quarterback and he's getting all this time in the preseason games. It's pretty wild.
That was sweet. I thought that Thielen being like, let anyone tell you who you are. You dictate that.
And Thielen and Rodgers are examples of veterans that do it the right way. That's
right.
How it's supposed to be. They say it's a brotherhood. That's what you're supposed to do when you're like a decorated guy that's been in the league for a while. Acronym check.
Yes.
Big deal. Big deal in the Jets building, acronym. So I know, I think the number one is AGNB.
Uh-huh.
All gas, no break. That's Salah's slogan. There was another one, though, that I did not know. DRL. That was, I think, on a wall, maybe in the meeting room. What is DRL?
Do right longer. Apparently, it was on a bunch of shirts. It's one of Salah's favorite mottos.
You know what it is? It's
what?
Tied into do your job.
Oh, so do your job longer and better?
Well, that's kind of what he said. He said, don't just do your job and then more.
Almost
another little zing.
I like that.
The Patriot way. Love it.
When do they first play each other? I'm excited for that.
Pretty soon, actually. The Jets have a really tough opening schedule, and the soft spot is Patriots, I believe, in week 3.
Oh, damn.
Who they haven't beaten in years and years and years.
Well, and speaking of which, the Patriots, you flagged this. Both of us looked at each other at the same time when we saw the Chiron on the bottom of the screen. Skarnecchia. As an assistant coach, and we both were like, oh my God, is that Dante's son?
Yes. Dante Skarnecchia, famed offensive line coach, forever offensive line coach, now retired of the Patriots, who has been often credited as being kind of a glue guy for that coaching staff during their glory run up in New England. And as is so often the case, like as soon as we saw Steve Skarnecchia, it's like, oh, is that his son?
Yeah.
Just the way this league is, not his uncle. You know, not a distant nephew. No, it's his son, Steve Skarnecchia. He's the chief of staff of the Jets. I don't know what that is, but it sounds like a vital role.
Yeah, sounds like a good job if you can get it.
Soundtrack check-in?
Oh, yeah, Shaggy.
Shaggy, right?
Yeah, you called that.
But then I always check the credits at the end, and he was not credited.
No?
No, but that was unmistakably Shaggy, right?
Yeah, because I looked it up and the song is called Oh Carolina, and that was for them going down to the Panthers. So it sounded like him. It was like this nice, fun kind of like reggae vibe.
Good for Shaggy.
Yeah.
Shaggy, that's the third good Shaggy song.
Shaggy, still got it.
The trilogy.
And then we got the I Can't Stand the Rain, the OG from the 70s.
Yes.
That was nice.
Yep. Missy Elliott turned it to a huge hit in the 90s. Mm-hmm. But it had its start, I guess, as a 70s song. Let's see. I also want to throw out there, I got to say, and this is my last one.
Okay.
Because it's important to me. A formative film in my life is Naked Gun.
Oh yeah.
From the files of Police Squad, 1988, Leslie Nielsen, George Kennedy. A movie that I've watched, honestly, and I'm not even joking, 1,000 times.
Okay.
It's probably, whether you like my personality or not, or my sense of humor, 31% of
just on the nose, 31%
sense of humor and personality was based off watching that movie from age 9 to present. So to see, and this is my special notice for MVP.
Okay.
To see passing game coordinator Todd Downing set up an entire quarterback's room meeting around Leslie Nielsen and his works. Rest in peace, Leslie. Here's what he had to say. We've been trying our best to get you guys educated on everything football, right? The biggest problem I have, Aaron, is we have not done a good job about teaching them about movies. Welcome to Cinema Sunday, educating an underprivileged generation in the art of moving pictures. You guys need to know who Leslie Nielsen is. And yes, and that's true. Airplane, Naked Gun 1, Naked Gun 2.5, The Smell of Fear, and Naked Gun 33 1/3, The Final Insult. Watch them all.
Airplane for me. That's like one of the top movies ever. I love it so much. And you know what? It's just like they're having all of these teaching moments for the Jets, and it's better for these players to be well-rounded. And I love that this is part of the curriculum.
Isn't it weird when it happens like this, where something you love in pop culture swerves even closer to you, and you're like, it almost feels like it's talking to you. Watching the Jets
felt personal
on Hard Knocks, and then having a coach go into a deep dive on Leslie Nielsen was like, what is happening here?
How are you doing right now?
I'm flying.
Are you still reeling?
I'm flying.
Yeah, you are.
I'm happy about this team. I'm excited about this team. And I think season, 17 of Hard Knocks is off to a great start.
Two good episodes already. I can't wait for the third.
All right. We will be back a week from tonight, as we always are. As soon as the airing of Hard Knocks is complete on the West Coast, you will get this podcast dropped in your feed. So keep following along. Hit us up on social. Let us know what you like, what you don't like. What could you not like?
I mean, let us know if you can find that hat. Cherish the little things. That'd be great. Send me a link.
There you go. Until next week, heed the call.
The man they call Q-Ball has a habit of keeping offense behind the eight ball, even his own.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.